Rod's Pulse Podcast number 24. Blackboard Backpack, Illuminate, and Espresso Classroom.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Earbuds jammed so deep in your ear.
Yeah, you're going deaf.
You probably found this little MP3 for free. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this just so I could let it go. Does anyone around here still have a radio?
Okay, that's just a little teaser. That's a piece by Jeff Smith and the Tone Wheels called Not on the Radio. Jeff Smith has been quite prolific in doing songs and little musical themes for the Daily Source Code, Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, I've referred to many times. Anyway, I thought you might enjoy that. Talks about the advent of podcasting and the downfall of radio as we know it. So stay tuned at the end of the program for the full piece called Not on the Radio. I think I have an interesting program for you today. I am interviewing Dr. Tony Frisbee, who's here at Jefferson. He's the Director of Education Services in the library. Here it's a group, part of a group called Academic and Instructional Support and Resources. Tony's going to talk to us about a trio of important educational technologies. The first one is Blackboard Backpack. I referred to this before. He'll be talking about the experiences here with Backpack. Backpack is a personal learning tool. It's primarily designed for students. It's a client application they put on their laptop and allows students to download all of their course content to their laptop or desktop PC. And it supports annotating and putting notes on their course documents, highlighting, and so forth. The second application in this trio is Illuminate. Illuminate is a synchronous learning tool. It offers internet-based video conferencing, also called webcasting. And this is a product which allows you to extend the reach of your live classroom and to make it available to students who are at remote locations. The third educational technology that Tony will address is Espresso Classroom. This is an asynchronous learning tool, which means that it captures the classroom experience and it makes it available to students for online review at a later time. It enables them to improve their comprehension and retention and frees up professors to make better use of their class and office hours. It's also enabling students to listen to their classroom presentations using their iPod, or in other words, it does create podcasts from the classroom experience. So let's begin with my interview of Dr. Tony Frisbee. I have here in my office recording studio Dr. Tony Frisbee from the library here at Thomas Jefferson University. I'll let him introduce himself and tell you what he does.
Hey, Tony Frisbee. I'm Director of ACER's Academic and Instructional Support and Resources Group for Education Services. We produce the university's software for the courses, do faculty development workshops for Blackboard, our version on campus is Pulse, and do a fair amount of the library bibliographic resource training.
I'll add that Tony's degree is in instructional design, and I worked with him for quite a few years developing educational applications for our students here at Jefferson. And I invited him to talk about some of the educational technology projects that are going on here at Jefferson. I'll just mention them briefly and let him fill in. And one is Espresso Classroom, which I've mentioned here on a couple of occasions. The other is using a product called Illuminate, and I'll let him illuminate that. and the Blackboard Backpack. Let's talk about Blackboard Backpack. I was hoping to have an interview soon with some of the principals behind Blackboard and the company that that developed Backpack, and we just started using it here. So, Tony, tell us about how that's going.
Blackboard Backpack is an application that is popular with the students. They're downloading it to their laptop and desktop machines, and when they're not connected to the university network or their home network, they'll have full access to all the materials in their course that are available on the Blackboard server on our campus. That's Pulse. It's been, I think, fairly popular. It's hard to get a good statistic as yet. I haven't sent out the survey stuff. I plan on doing that around December to see how well it's been used on campus. We've only had one hardware incompatibility problem, and the folks at Agilex who produce Backpack have been trying to resolve that. But otherwise, I haven't had any reports of errors. One of the things that works very well for students is it downloads all the slides and materials that the professor loads, so it could be slides, Word files, Excel spreadsheets, and then the students actually are able to capture that with some software that's part of Backpack and then annotate the files so they can add their own notes either using a text call-out box if they're on a laptop or their desktop. If they have a tablet PC, then using the pen, they can write the notes right on the materials from the professor just like they normally would. One of the interesting things that the folks at Agilex have been able to do with the Backpack application is configure it so that if the instructor downloads an update or a revised version, the software is supposed to be smart enough to know that the student has either made changes to it, and then it just renames the file. It doesn't overwrite it. But if the student hasn't made any edits to it, it will overwrite it so they don't end up with two copies to wonder what the difference is between the two. So later on this fall, we'll be sending out a survey and asking them how they liked it and how they've been using it. But the informal reports that I've had, students have liked it pretty well.
How much does it cost, and how do the students know about it? I know we put up a little banner ad on our Blackboard system.
Backpack is downloaded directly from the website, backpack.blackboard.com, and it's just under $50. The students only have to pay that fee once, and then it actually goes to Blackboard. It's not sent to the university in any way. If they have a license from another school, all they have to do is change the server information. So our undergraduate students might actually only have to buy this once, but so far we haven't had a lot of transfers from other schools where students have had it yet. But I think that's just because it's so new. Once more places get used to using it, I think it'll be a very popular tool.
I guess it's most useful for students that have a laptop. Obviously, especially if they don't have a wireless card, they can't get to Blackboard on campus. So they go home or they can go to the library, right, and download all their content onto their Blackboard, onto their backpack on their laptop. Do you think it's also useful for folks that don't have laptops, that just have a desktop computer? Do you have any feel for students using it as an alternative to the direct Blackboard connection?
When we've been talking about it in orientation, we've tried to give equal weight to those who might be using it as a desktop as well as a PC. The benefits that would apply to both are that once you've downloaded the materials onto your own PC, it's searchable, so you'll be able to search within classes. Something that might have happened a few semesters ago, it'd be easy to find that way. For some of our students whose classes aren't archived for the whole time that they're on campus, this is a way for them to keep track of all the records that they've had while they've been attending Jefferson, so they're downloaded to their own machine. It has a nice calendar feature, so if your instructors are using the calendar, it gets integrated and you can use it as your own personal information management tool.
For those of you not familiar with Jefferson, I guess it's been an issue for Blackboard installations, how much content you keep around. I know for our medical students, we keep all 4 years around so that when the med students are in the clinical years, they can always go back and get back to their basic science content that they had. But I believe for the College of Health Professions, it only stays around for 2 years. So it has to do with storage capacity and the difficulties with copying course content and keeping things up and live. Is there any new feature you're looking for? Are they coming out with a new version? Anything? Any particular outstanding problems or issues that you wish the manufacturer would take care of?
I haven't, other than the one manufacturer, it was a Sony VAIO laptop, and we're not sure yet where the problem with that is. But the folks at Agilex are trying to troubleshoot it. They've been very responsive with that. The newest version is 2.5, and it did just come out right at the start of school this fall, so that's pretty recent. I guess the next biggest question that I've had about it has been for Macintosh users. There is not currently a version available for them. And I know we do have Mac users on campus, and they're sometimes kind of vocal because they get shut out. So that would be the only request, I guess.
Okay, that's great. It's a good overview of Backpack. I think it's going to be pretty popular. One of the other topics we want to talk about today is Illuminate. I don't know much about it myself, so I was hoping, Tony, you could fill us in on what that is, who's using it, what prompted you to start supporting that.
Illuminate is a webcasting product, and our initial interest when we were investigating these was a way to provide an inexpensive way to do webcasting. ISDN is usually quite expensive because you run into per-minute charges when you tie in a number of different locations with the audio. Our first group that was interested in it was the med school, with the idea that they would keep students that are away at affiliate hospitals. They would be able to attend the Illuminate webcasting sessions for their weekly topic overviews or their mini grand round sorts of things. So far we haven't unrolled much of it in the med school yet. Right now the group that's using it is in occupational therapy. Our instructor is using that with students that are off at remote sites as part of the seminar. Instead of having a few of them show up each week when it's something they can get back to campus for, they all just agree to meet at a certain time in the evening and all connect that way. And we're about 3 weeks into them using it, and so far no problems with anything, and the students seem to like it a whole lot. There were two products that we looked at when we were investigating the webcasting. The other one was Breeze. And both products are very, very similar. We picked Illuminate because of the technical support that they had available. Support was available 24/7, not just for us who might be moderating the sessions, but if faculty are running their own session with their own small groups, they also have direct access to the support line. And a lot of vendors limit who can contact support house staff, so that was a good thing for that. Illuminate has a handy tool that'll convert your PowerPoint presentations to something that's a little more web-friendly. And there's nice little meters that the instructor or the moderator can watch, and you can actually tell whether the whole class has had the files downloaded to their desktop yet before you want to go and display them. One of the other interesting tools that it has is the users at the remote sites don't need to have the same software. You can either share your whole desktop, and it'll broadcast that through the Illuminate server, or you could pick a application window or a defined part of your screen. So you can save bandwidth by picking different sizes as appropriate. But for web tours and for showing things that the hospital would have to show, it's great that you don't need to have your end user have the same applications on their desktop. So far, it's been very popular with the two groups that have used it.
So it's primarily uses for real-time synchronous education. Is there any facility to capture a particular presentation to play back later?
Illuminate does have the ability to record. All the recordings, however, reside on their site. So if you wanted to make a captured version available for use on campus or save it as an archive, you would then need to play back the version off the Illuminate server in real time and capture it on your desktop using something like Camtasia or Captivate. But it does support a recording feature. There's plenty of server space for those kinds of things. And our campus license, we're able to have 20 simultaneous users. But it is important that it's a synchronous technology. Users can have a text chat box, or you could have simultaneous speakers, though our experience with that has been that it quickly gets out of hand because of the slight delay time. It's very awkward for two people to carry on a conversation when there's an unusual gap that we're used to not having on a regular duplex phone sort of deal. Other things that it does instant polling. So if you've got a large group that you'd be working with, you could ask periodic questions of the whole group, and they could either vote yes or no, or they could be multiple choice type questions. So it is expandable. If we had a conference that was going to be hosted on campus, we can increase our license for special events, so it doesn't tie us into just using 20 all the time.
So it's an outside hosted application. That certainly makes our job in IT a lot easier. Do you have some feel for its use in the future? Who else do you think is going to You know, who's this really designed for? What do you think is going to be the main use for it in the future?
I think our use in nursing is going to go up a lot with that. As they pursue the establishment of the doctor degree program, it would be a great way for people that are attending school part-time working on their doctorate degree to attend seminar-type classes this way. It's really set up best for a very structured kind of presentation because it supports the PowerPoint idea so well. If you're having multiple users attend a seminar kind of discussion, I think it's going to be a little bit more awkward. But once you get the group trained on doing that, then each additional time that they use it, it'll be a little bit smoother for them.
Okay, that's great. That brings us to, I think, our last topic for today. I wanted to ask Tony about his experience with Appresso Classroom. I referred to Appresso Classroom in the past. In fact, I think last February I interviewed one of the sales reps from Appresso. And so, lo and behold, we finally have it here, thanks to Tony's group in the library. And how is that going, and how's it being used?
Since we went to the Blackboard conference last spring with the folks from Jeff IT, we've been interested in rolling out something like AnyStream's Appresso or Tegrity's Classroom product to capture some of the more important lectures that are happening on campus. And just from the early negotiations, it worked out that getting AnyStream's Appresso product on campus was a little bit easier just by the nature of the way the two med school classes are run on campus. We have two fixed locations where the podiums and the computers are already in place, and the AnyStream Appresso product is interesting because it works on a schedule that you upload in advance, and I think that's particularly important to the med school because a lot of those instructors aren't the full-time instructor who's doing this every day. It might be somebody who's coming in from the hospital or somebody who has a few lectures from another department, so we don't have to teach them how to do another software tool or something that they need to be aware of while they're at the podium doing their presentation. It all happens in the background. So it's been pretty popular so far. The feedback that I've had from students has been very positive. I know several faculty were a little bit concerned at first that it might cut down on campus attendance, but the literature had shown that that's not been the case, that other schools have experienced that. And if it does happen, it tends to happen just for the first few days of the novelty. But if you watch one of these, they're very helpful, but it's really not a replacement for being there in the classroom live. A couple of the students that I know have been starting to use the product heavily are saying that they go to the classroom and they actually listen to the lecture now instead of trying to transcribe it verbatim while the professor's talking. And that's really where a product like this shines, because you can go there, pay attention to what's being presented to you, digest it, think about it while it's happening, and then after the session the next evening you can download the product and just do your transcribing or your note-taking directly with it that way. So I think it's a good reference tool for students to have access to.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about the attendance issue. I know a lot of faculty have that concern, and I know my personal feeling is that any modes of learning you can make available for students, the more the better. Some students may digest that information better, you know, at midnight and be asleep during the day, so I think that's the way to go. It would be nice if they could absorb the content and preserve the face-to-face meetings for, you know, question and answer sessions and that sort of thing. But I think that's probably take a whole change in culture at a lot of institutions. How about for smaller classrooms? Do you see Appresso being used in a smaller classroom situation? You mentioned the two medical school lecture halls, which, you know, makes it very convenient to set that up for automatic recording. What do you think the best options are for smaller groups?
Appresso can be used by small groups. The initial licensing structure that we looked at was a per classroom or by the classroom type structure. The other product that we were investigating was from Tegrity, and it's run more on a local laptop or local desktop PC, and the instructor actually starts and stops it, or if they want to, they can pause it during the course of a lecture, you know, if they wanted to block out part of the content for some reason. So that would be a little bit easier to manage. It would just involve some more faculty training, and that really just depends on the nature of the faculty, if they're going to be interested in dealing with that. A good thing about both products is the stuff that they output is viewable on both Macintosh and PCs. I didn't mention that about Illuminate, but Illuminate is actually a Java application, and it'll run on Windows, on the Macintosh operating system, or even Linux. So it is something a lot of different users can take advantage of.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about the cross-platform capability. That triggered a question in my mind about podcasts. Can these presentations, do you have to be sitting at your computer to listen to your professor, or can you download it to your iPod?
Both of the products, Aprezzo and Tegrity, support the MP3 format as well. So what happens with the Aprezzos that we're capturing is a full version of the presentation that's being transmitted on the university's PA system for that lecture hall and in the classroom computer is all captured as one. So if you're watching the playback, everything is synchronized on your desktop PC. Along the left-hand side of the way we've got it configured now are thumbnails of each of the slides as they come up and a timeline so you can advance if you know that you want to pick up halfway through the lecture, or if you're looking to recognize a certain slide, you can see those because the thumbnails are about maybe 2 by 3 inches or so. On the MP3 side, you can actually subscribe to it as a podcast, and then each time you launch iTunes, it'll download for you automatically. And you can play that on your iPod, or if you have a different MP3 player that supports that kind of subscription, it works on those as well. Aprezzo is supposed to be releasing an upgrade in December or January of this year, and that'll support the enhanced MP3 format. So on your newer models, like the iPod Video or the new Microsoft Zuni, it should support showing the images as well as the audio.
That's interesting. I wasn't aware of that. I know that was one of the advantages I saw of Tegrity over Aprezzo, was that it did support the enhanced podcast. Unfortunately, that's still quite proprietary. It only works on the iPod, to my knowledge. I think there are ways to show small videos on a small portable player. It'd be interesting to see what's going to happen on the Windows side. Those in the audience probably don't know what the Zune is, but I guess that's the Windows answer to an iPod or a media player. Do you know if that's going to support an enhanced podcast? That seems to be pretty proprietary.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but that's what the initial release specs were supposed to be. There's a lot of other things that look very much in common between the two pieces of hardware, so maybe there is some sharing going on there.
Anyway, again, I want to thank you, Tony, a lot for coming by and talking to us, and we'll see you on the web.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
Somebody told me you're in San Francisco. They said you're working in a box,
yeah, a cubicle.
Somebody told me that you're not on top of the world. You're probably walking down the street with your earbuds jammed so deep in your ear,
yeah, you're going deaf.
You probably found this little MP3 for free. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all? You should go and see them out in Cupertino. It's way cooler out there.
Yeah, I think so.
But maybe you just like it in your cozy little world. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this just so I can let it go. Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all? Maybe I'm just bitter. Save me from my hell, but maybe I just like it if you turn it off now, turn it off now. Maybe.
forget about us out in Wheeling, West Virginia. We can make it on our own,
and we're doing just fine.
I can't afford your record, but it's out of sight. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this, but not for the radio. Hey, now, switch off your radio, off your radio. Well, you can play this, but not on the radio. I made this, just so I could let it go. Does anyone around here still have a radio?
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.